thank you for the opportunity to give back to you a portion of what you have blessed us to receive. We pray that you would bless this offering in the name of Jesus, that it would be used according to your will, for it is our heart's desire that your name be lifted up and your kingdom be advanced. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Truly, God has blessed Second Baptist, and we are grateful for the presence of Brother Pickens, and we enjoy every time he is called upon to serve, and we thank him for his service. Let us all stand, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Thank you. Yet again, Father, we thank you for the opportunity to give, and we pray that what we
was not out of fear, but so he could continue his ministry and fulfill the scriptures. The Bible says a great multitude of people followed Jesus on foot, and Jesus was so moved that he had compassion on them and healed their sick. People all over the world are sick and hurting today, and we need compassion to help heal their sicknesses, both physically and spiritually. In our world, we need more compassion one toward the other. Just look at some of the things we hear day in and day out. We need to have more compassion, church. But after this great healing service, the disciples wanted just to send the people away hungry. But Jesus had another plan. The Bible says that Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he blessed them and broke them, and he gave them to the disciples. And the disciples took what Jesus had given them and gave them to the people. And the Bible tells us that about 5,000 men ate, besides women and children, in verse 21. And there were even leftovers. Amen? 12 baskets of leftovers, church. And following this miraculous feeding, we get into our text. We find here in verse 22 that Jesus straightway constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him onto the other side while he sent the multitude away. Now, these words, straightway constrained, means that Jesus had to immediately force the disciples to get into the ship and go over to the other side. You see, the disciples, they didn't want to leave Jesus alone. Maybe they remembered their last experience of being caught in a rough sea in chapter 8, verses 23 through 27, when they thought that they were going to perish at sea. And Jesus was down in the ship, and he was sleeping, and they went down and woke him up and said, "Master, help us, because we're going to perish." And Jesus got up and went out and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. Just maybe that was on their mind. Maybe their fears, church, outweighed their faith. You see, sometimes Jesus will have to constrain me when he wants me to do something and I don't want to do it, or he wants to move me one way or another. And sometimes he may even force you to make a move. You know, he can force us to make moves that we don't necessarily understand. But you know, the problem with us is we get too complacent. We get too comfortable right where we are. And you know, when you get comfortable like that, it's just like a pool of water. You get stagnant. And a church should be a moving organism. It shouldn't just be a stagnant body of water or body of believers. Amen. You know, we should be moving and vibrant, not stagnant. Some may even hold back on going to that next level in God. And some folks are just plain out scared. Scared to move. Amen. They're afraid. That's why this sermon is telling us, don't be afraid, you can make it. Don't be afraid to move out of your comfort zone. And I'm here to tell you that if Jesus moves you, it may not be comfortable. You may not understand what's going on, but it is for your own good when Jesus moves you. So don't be afraid, you can make it. See, Jesus can take you from the peaceful shores to unsettled waters to test your faith. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not onto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will do what? He will direct your path. It may not be comfortable, but he'll be directing it. Amen? So here in the text, Jesus had to force or constrain his disciples to go before him to the other side, while he alone sent the multitudes away. The disciples really wanted to help Jesus. They didn't want to leave him alone. But you know, my brothers and sisters, there are some things that only Jesus alone can do. Amen. 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 Sometimes we need to take ourselves out of the equation and allow Jesus to do what he do. Because it ain't about me. And believe it or not, it ain't about you. Amen. Now, I know the proper English, but, you know, it's not about me and it's not about you. But after sending this multitude of folks away, Jesus went into a mountain to pray. See, he needed to get some alone time with his heavenly Father. Have you gotten some alone time already today with him? Have you talked to God? Have you called him up? Jesus needed to get away and pray. Have you ever needed to get alone by yourself to pray? Away from family? Away from friends, away from homies, away from homegirls, away from your schoolmates, away from church folks, away from prayer partners, just to get alone with God? Have you ever gone into your war room or in your prayer closet or even on the backside of a mountain? Just to have a little talk with Jesus? See, Jesus needed to get away. And I don't know what Jesus prayed, but in my sanctified imagination, I can see Jesus bowing down before the Father. I can see him thanking God for all that he had done. Thanking God for his forerunner, John the Baptist. Thanking God for his ministry. Thanking God for the healing of the sick. Thanking God even for the 2 fish and 5 loaves that fed the multitude. And I believe Jesus even prayed for a fresh anointing because he knew he had more work to do. You see, it was Jesus' custom to get alone to pray. This lets me know that we all need to make it our custom to pray. You know, today in Sunday school, Sister Bridget gave some acronyms for prayer. She used the words acts and the word pray. Amen. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Amen. Prayer was praise, repentance, adoration, ask. A was ask. And the Y was yield. Sometimes we got to yield not to temptation, because yielding is what? Sin. Amen. But we've got to develop a custom of prayer. Now, as the disciples were crossing the sea in verse 24, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a storm arose. And the disciples found themselves in the midst of a storm, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. See, storms come out of nowhere in many different ways. Anyone in a storm right now? I hope I'm not the only one. Amen. Because sometimes the storms of life get the best of me. Amen. And like I said, you're either headed to a storm, in a storm, or just coming out of one. Amen. And if you haven't been in one, just keep on living. You'll find yourself in a storm. Amen. And verses 25 and 26 say, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went on to them walking on the sea. See, the fourth watch would be between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. They thought they were seeing a ghost. Amen. And cried out for fear. Have you ever been in a storm and cried out of fear? Amen. Amen. As some people that lost homes and things like that through hurricanes and tornadoes. Amen. Some of them cried out. Amen. But verse 27 tells us, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. See, if you cry out in the midst of your storm, Jesus will answer. Amen. 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 Do I have a witness?
Yes.
Amen. Jesus will answer if you call on him. And Peter said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And Jesus said, come on, Peter, come. And Peter came out of the ship and walked on water to go to Jesus. See, my brothers and sisters, even in a storm, you can do the impossible as long as you stay focused on Jesus. And this reminds me of what my Uncle Clarence told me one time. He said, just keep your eye on the prize. Don't worry about all the other stuff going on. Just keep your eyes fixed on Jesus and everything will be all right.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
So Peter came out of the ship and he walked on the water to Jesus. And he kept his focus. He was doing pretty good. Peter was doing fine until he saw what was happening around him. Verse 30 says, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried, saying, Lord, save me. I'm also reminded of my life right here and how, as the songwriters James Rowe and Howard E. Smith penned, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very, very stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. You see, love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. See, my brothers and sisters, I was lost. I lost focus of Jesus. And I had gotten caught up in what was going on around me. In other words, I got caught up in what was happening all about me, the cares of this world and all these things that took my eyes off of Jesus. And I began to sink in sin. My life began to spiral. But I'm so glad on May 27th, 1990, I woke up that morning, Reverend Jackson, and I looked in the mirror. And there's a song that Michael Jackson wrote, The Man in the Mirror. I'm looking at the man in the mirror. And when I saw myself for what I had become, an old wretched sinner, all I could do that morning was say, Lord, save me. And I'm so glad for a Christian mother who taught me. Because the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. That was all I had in me, was just to say, Lord, save me. And I'm so glad for that early childhood upbringing. I'm glad that it kicked in, because I was in a storm. I had been in a storm for a long time. But I'm so glad that when I cried out like Peter, the Lord saved me. And just like Jesus saved Peter, he can save you too. If he can save me, he can save anybody. See, Jesus reached way down and pulled me up. Verse 31 says, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? See, for these disciples and for many of us, being in a storm is just a test of your faith. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 32 and 33 says, and when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshiped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. My brothers and sisters, I just stopped by on my way to heaven to tell you that God is still in control. Jesus is in control of all things, even the wind and the sea. Amen. He's got it all in control. And when you find yourself in a storm, remember, Jesus said, be of good cheer.
Amen.
You know, I see some storm clouds on the horizon in 2017. Amen? And like I said, we're either headed into one, in one, or going out of one. But there's some storm clouds on the horizon. But Jesus says, be of good cheer. In the midst of the storm, don't sit around and have a pity party. Don't cry, woe is me. Just say, Lord, save me. And Jesus will move on your behalf. And then remember, Jesus said, it is I. No matter what you're going through, no matter what storm in life, Jesus promised to be with you always, even until the end of the age. In the midst of the storm, Jesus will walk with you. He'll talk with you, and he'll tell you you are his own. I'm glad about it. Jesus also said, be not afraid. I don't know why. Sometimes as Christians, we all get afraid. You know, we get fearful. But have no fear when you're in the midst of the storm. Amen? Amen. When you're in the midst of your storm, have no fear. You don't have to worry because the Lord is on your side. And there may be someone here today who is in a storm. And I just want to encourage you, and I'm all done. I just wanted to encourage you to keep your eyes on Jesus. And when the winds start blowing in your life, hold on to Jesus' hand. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Young people, keep your eye on Jesus, because you're facing some storms too. Storms in the classroom. Storms of racism in the classroom. Teachers gonna be prejudiced, but y'all keep pressing on. Keep getting your education and move on and trust Jesus, because he will make a way out of no way. Amen? Amen? He will. He will take care of you. But don't be afraid. You can make it. And I'm so glad that one morning on Calvary, Jesus was crucified, hung, bled, and died for your sins and for mine. But I'm so glad that early on that third day morning that Jesus got up with all power in his hands.